Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of July 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks up at Earthrisk Technologies in Chicago, discuss the cash grain market with the staff out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County, and hear from Gary Schnitke about crop budgets for 2016. He and the FarmDoc team are using the same cash grain average prices for this year and next. They're $4.20 or 25 cents for corn and about $10 for soybeans. We'll hear more from Gary as we go through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. From the corn pit, nearby July contract at $4.18.5, a settlement price a penny and a half lower for the day. December down 2.25 at $4.35, and the March corn at $4.44.5, down 2 cents. May futures down a penny and three quarter at $4.50.25. Soy complex, July beans 11.5 cents, the loss $10.33.75, the settlement price. August at $10.22.25, down 16 cents. And November beans 15.5 lower at $10.14.75. January contract at $10.21 even, down 14.75. The July of next year at $10.09, down 3.75. Bean meal futures finished the lead option July at $3.54.40, down $3. And the bean oil 72 cents lower at $32.64. Live are the wheat futures soft red at $5.88.5, up 2.75 in the July contract. September up a nickel at $5.95.5, hard red to $5.76.25, a quarter higher, and September at $5.92.5, up 0.75 cents. Live cattle futures in the August to $150.45, 77.5 lower. The October at $153.35, also down 77.5 cents. August feeders 70 cents lower, $216.75 per 100 pounds. And lean hogs on the day in the July at $78.65, finished 12.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In the outside markets at this hour, crude oil is down $2.95 a barrel at $52.56. Ethanol futures at $1.64 per gallon is up a penny and 2 tenths. Gasoline on the RBOB price down 7 4/10 of a cent at $1.92 6/10 of a cent. And heating oil for the day, or diesel fuel, at $1.71 1/10. That's 8 7/10 of a cent lower. Natural gas at $2.75 6/10. Down a penny and 4 tenths on the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 91 points lower at 17,526. The U.S. dollar at 96.48. That's up 0.2 for the afternoon. And gold futures in New York on the August contract, $1,171.25, up $3.50 for a troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies on our way to 88 degrees. South-southwest winds at 15 miles an hour. They'll gust out to 23. And then tonight, showers, thunderstorms. Those will come after 4 a.m. in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a low of 71. South winds at 10 to 13, gusting to 20. Chance of rain fall in the Urbana-Champaign area set at 60% for tonight. That will continue at the 70% level during the day tomorrow, mainly before 1 in the afternoon. Central time, cloudy, a high of 76 tomorrow, and then tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy as the rain moves out, 58 degrees, north-northeast winds at 5 to 8 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll check in with the folks up at Earthrisk Technologies. They, of course, are in Chicago, Illinois.
support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. It is the 6th day of July, a Monday afternoon, the last trading day in Chicago for the agricultural commodities in the open outcry pits. It's a sad day, I think, Kurt Kimmel, for the end of the agricultural trading. What an historical run it has had.
Yeah, it's amazing that did what it did. I mean, it's from day one, open outcry, how you did business then and till now. It's just amazing. Over 167 years it's been around and to make the change, but it's welcomed. One thing that's obvious to us is, today versus past history is the amount of volume that's being traded, and the technology today enables us to put an order in very quickly. It enables us to be able to find out whether that order's been filled or not, especially if it touches there. In the past, it took an order check, then you had to do a cancel replace, and it was quite a process there when the volume started really picking up, through the 80s and through the 90s. So it is a change the way we conduct business, and those floor traders have migrated to the option pit, for say, if they still want to trade, because they're still going to trade agriculture options for a while. Those three-way butterflies and so forth have not really been fine-tuned on the electronic system yet. So if they still want to trade on the floor, they can do it through the options pits, Todd.
And given all of that, there has been a move, a swift move, actually, over the last, 5 to 7 years. I don't know quite how long electronic trade has been in place, but since it was implemented, the agricultural trade has moved quickly, the volume, most of it, to the electronic trade. Shouldn't see a whole lot of difference, I would think, during the day trade. One of the few things that are different is the way the settlement prices come out. That happened last week, where we have a TAS trade at the end of settlement, and for the most part, things finish up and electronic trade moves along in the way it has for the last several years. As you said, a lot of volume from the outside world that makes things on the outside markets really important to watch. And I guess Greece was one of the things over the weekend. But I'm wondering what was really behind the move lower. And it's been this way since the trade started for this Monday session, down about 16 cents in the soybeans.
Yeah, we just basically keyed off Greece, but I think a deeper concern is the Chinese-Asian stock market. They took a fairly good hit. There was concern there. Also, too, we've seen just a slowdown in outright bean purchases from Asia. Typically we see those daily announcements around 8 o'clock in the morning show some type of activity Asian. Those just have not materialized like they've had in the past. Then, too, you take all that investor confidence just wasn't there. There was concerns that, with the big run-up we've seen, November beans have rallied over $1.45 off the lows, corn just about 78 cents off the lows. The momentum indicators are up there indicating overbought, and it's time for, a little bit of a correction. We'll see what type of news comes at us here as we go into the crop conditions report this afternoon. And bigger yet, the monthly supply demand report here at the end of the week. But for the most part, the trend is higher with the bearish news and the technical action. It suggests maybe a little cooling down for a while.
The weekly crop progress report is due out in 45 minutes now at 3 o'clock Central Time. What are the expectations from the trade?
Real mixed ideas. Some feel we'll have some stable numbers. A lot feel we could see an overall deterioration of 1 to 2% out of that good to excellent category. Seems like the West has improved, but the East continues to struggle. We'll see what those numbers are. Better yet, we'll watch the state breakdowns. Here in the east, we suffered the most deterioration. Corn, Illinois corn is only 62% good to excellent. Indiana, 48% good to excellent. Ohio, only 42% good to excellent. So, you know, we've seen a dramatic drop. Beans, kind of same deal, 52% Illinois, 49% Indiana, 44% Ohio. So we'll watch that eastern belt. That's where a lot of deterioration has materialized. Then we'll see planting progress on beans. Ideas are we're 94% to maybe 97%. I think that's a little rich. You know, if there's any headway in bean planting progress, it occurred, it'll occur this week.
How worried are your producers in the eastern Corn Belt? I'm thinking those that might be in that Watsiketa, Lafayette area in particular, about their corn crop. It's been really wet. It's really uneven. Off to a slow start, and maybe set to pollinate, given how early it was planted, I would think.
Well, a lot of them's thankful that they got some good crop insurance agents and got a little help there. But, you know, it's amazing. The trade's been focused on, Missouri all along. And now we've mentioned the area you just talked about there. But there's a lot of areas in Illinois here, south of us, south, west of us. You go, northwest, eastern Illinois, and you take her into Indiana, Clark, Ohio. I mean, it's a big area. And it's really devastating if it's your field. But it's one of those situations where you just can't replace bushels. And, you're going to have the market going up to this, 475, 480 to replace some of these bushels for some of these guys. And it's going to be a tough one to handle if you don't have crop insurance.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for the 6th day of July. Here's a quick look at what's in the agricultural news for the day. More and more entities are filing lawsuits to force the Environmental Protection Agency and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to vacate the controversial new ruling, redefining the scope of federal jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. The American Farm Bureau Federation, Texas Farm Bureau, a county farm bureau, and 11 other agricultural and industry groups on July 2nd asked a federal court to stop eventual enforcement of the Waters of the U.S., or WOTUS, rule. This lawsuit was filed in the federal district court in Texas and reportedly is the second case to be filed in Texas. The state attorney generals of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas previously filed in Texas as well. Well, a federal judge last week ruled that a Maui County, Hawaii ban on cultivation of genetically engineered crops is preempted by federal and state law and therefore invalid. The county's ordinance creating the prohibition exceeded the county's authority, says the judge that handed down the ruling in the U.S. District Court. The judge noted she was ruling about whether a county has the authority to enforce such a ban and was not ruling on the attributes of producing genetically modified crops. Monsanto and Dow are both doing genetic crops research in Maui County, Hawaii. Both also have research farms for crop production in the county. Well, a ministerial meeting aimed at finalizing the 12-Nation Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, trade deal is set for the last week of July. A source close to the negotiation said a week ago on condition of anonymity. This was on the heels of the Trade Promotion Authority, or Fast Track Authority, signed into law by President Obama. The meeting of trade ministers from the dozen countries involved would likely mark the final stage of the TPP negotiations, a massive trade pact covering 40% of the world's economy. Negotiations are set to begin July 23rd, says the source, adding that the location will likely be in the United States. And finally today, Bayer Crop Sciences is investing $50 million in its production facility at Muskegon, Michigan. It is being called a significant upgrade to increase production capacity so that the company has a bigger volume of Liberty herbicide to sell. New machinery and equipment is going into place in a building that was originally built large enough to accommodate internal expansion, says the plant manager. Production with the additional capacity is scheduled to begin in mid-2017, but the increased plant production is not expected to require the hiring of many, if any, additional employees to the 70-person staff. The company's stated goal is to double Liberty herbicide production globally in the coming years. This larger volume of herbicide is in line with the expansion of crops being grown that are tolerant to Liberty herbicide applied post-emergence. The most recognized crop is soybeans tolerant to Liberty. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. And finally, this little item from the World Pork Expo that was held last month in Des Moines. The Pork Checkoff hosted a variety of informative seminars. Pork Checkoff spokesperson Cindy Cunningham says the Pork Academy seminars are now available online.
We have put those seminars from Pork Academy on pork.org, and they are both in a video form as well as a slide and audio form. We talk about the common industry audit. We talk about antibiotics guidance and the changes through FDA. We look at the U.S. port exports and the situation and outlook. We also talk about things like mitigating the impact of seasonal loss of productivity, PEDV, planning for emergencies on your farm. All of this is available in a seminar series on pork.org, and you can watch videos, you can just watch the slides and listen to the audio, but it's there as a tool for producers to use and to put into practice in their own operations.
Again, this information is available at pork.com. For more information, producers, of course, can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center or just go to pork.org or call 800-456-PORK.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're joined in studio now by Gary Schnittke, Ag Economist, Farm Management Specialist here on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. He has put together the crop budgets for 2016, some projections he has made. Tell me about those, please.
Yeah, we've released our first version of the 2016 budgets, and they're available in the FarmDoc management section of FarmDoc. So if you go there, you can see what we're looking at for 2016.
Three primary points?
Three primary points. The first is in our budgets, we're using a $4.20 corn price, $10 soybean price, which are probably optimistic compared to where many people are at. But even at those optimistic prices, we're looking at short cash flows or points where people have to make decisions about cost and what they're doing. The second, at those prices, and given some modest price decreases, we're still looking at cash rents having to come down. And if we want to get back to a return in the 2000 to 2005 level, we would have to be looking at cash rents decreasing between 25 and 30%, which is a sizable decrease and will put downward pressure on cash rents.
And then finally, the input prices.
Yeah, the input prices, we're looking, a key this year will be looking at what 2016 input prices are. We'll begin to get those in August and September, both fertilizer and seed. If they're at 2015 levels or where they were at 2015, the manufacturers are basically saying all the adjustments to lower commodity prices have to come out of either farmer returns or landowner returns, and they're going to hold steady at those input levels.
Do we have any early indications yet on that front?
Not a whole lot. There is some belief that fertilizer prices could be under pressure. Seed prices, probably not, but we'll see. But the biggest hope for price declines would be in the fertilizer area.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnittke is an ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc Daily website. Look for the article titled Projected 2016 Crop Returns, Continuing Need to Adjust to Lower Returns. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're joined by Amy Sage at the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. Thanks, Amy, for being with us. Are farmers wondering what happened to the higher prices, and are they worried yet about them going away?
You know, I don't think so yet. I will say we saw a lot of farmer selling all last week during the up market, and we did not see nearly as much of that today in the down market. So that tells me that people aren't overall that concerned about it yet.
So tell me what you think about this marketplace, how it's changed in the last month.
Yeah, so obviously we've kind of done a 180 here, particularly in crop conditions. When we started off the growing season, we were a little more concerned about getting new crop beans priced because of how many acres shifted from corn to beans this year. Now, obviously, with the rain that's occurred, prevent plant acres that will struggle to get replanted or struggle after they've been replanted, the general tone on soybeans has just totally swung the pendulum from one side to the other, looking at some pretty significant upside potential in new crop soybeans. As far as corn goes, too, corn was looking really good in a lot of areas. We've shaved the top end of the yield off in a lot of areas. We saw less corn stalks being carried in, so a little more positive momentum there, too. It did provide an opportunity, and we did see a lot of old crop corn selling. So over the past 5 days, and we really hadn't seen that in about 4 months. So we did see people taking advantage of that, liquidating some old crop stocks and carrying just gambling bushels forward.
All of this, it appears, has made the July World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates due out at the end of this week more important, I think, than it has been in quite some time. What are you looking forward to?
Really, it will be much more important than what we typically see. And at this point, I guess not a huge change from what we saw last Tuesday. I mean, we'll probably go into it thinking that it shouldn't be too dramatic one way or the other.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
Absolutely. Cash corn is going to be 412, fall 417, cash soybeans 1024, fall beans 994, and wheat is at 587.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Amy Sage, that is. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. If you'd like to pick us up online, you can do that at your convenience at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including Commodity Week, our weekly look at the marketplace. Greg Johnson was on last week along with Kevin Van Trump, Dan Zwicker, and Jerry Gulke. It was a really good program. If you haven't listened to it yet, be sure to visit willag.org. And by the way, the numbers that you see there as far as the time are different than the air times we have for our radio stations. Those are the times we expect to have the programs posted to our website. We depend greatly on both of them as a distribution network, and we depend on you, our listeners, to help us out with that as well. So be sure to visit both our online site and listen to us on air. And by the way, thank you so much for doing so. In just about 2 minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk about the weather forecast, that with the folks up at Earth Risk Technologies. They, of course, are in Chicago, Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Fried Chicken Day. Fried chicken dates back to ancient cultures all over the world, including Rome, Egypt, and China. Fried chicken in America has its roots in southern slavery. Fried chicken was often served among slaves on special occasions. It's also National Pickle Festival Day. As early as 1659, Dutch farmers in New York grew cucumbers, which were sold to dealers who cured them in barrels and sold them from market stalls. But it was not until 1820 that pickles were sold commercially in jars. In 1858, lineman Blake patented the first shoe sole machine. His invention revolutionized the shoe industry and made Plymouth County, Massachusetts, the nation's shoe capital. In 1886, Horlicks of Wisconsin offered the first malted milk for sale to the public. Horlicks developed the process to dehydrate milk and patented it in 1883, calling it malted milk. The company originally produced a food for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And in 1990, Nathaniel Wyeth died. Wyeth, an American chemist and inventor, received a patent for PET plastic beverage bottles. Those were the first plastic bottles strong enough to hold carbonated beverages that would satisfy food safety requirements. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's Monday afternoon, the 6th day of July. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Mark Russo. He's the senior weather analyst at Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. What a beautiful weekend it was here. Mark, a nice change of pace from all the rain we've had.
Yeah, certainly was. And combined with cooler than normal temperatures, that is, well, with the exception of yesterday, basically, which is back at normal levels, that made just for a fantastic open weekend. Sad to say here, Todd, that that's in the process of changing here as we do have a more return to more active conditions again here across the Corn Belt, and several waves of showers and storms look to prevail here, not only this week, but across the Midwest next week as well. So this stretch of fair and dry conditions, it looks pretty brief rather than the start of, you know, several weeks of these type of conditions.
There looks like there is a nice front that runs from Wichita all the way through Thunder Bay at this point. Although the rainfall is spotty here and there, it looks like some heavy rainfall though in a few places. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, that's certainly the focus of attention for showers and thunderstorms over the next 24 hours or so as it pushes off to the east and southeast. But right on the heels of that will be some moisture originally from the Pacific that's going to come through the desert southwest into the plains and then on to the Midwest. And with that moisture in place, that will produce a round of heavier rain activity here coming up the middle to end of this week. And so overall, it looks like your highest totals here will be generally in the 2 to 3 to 4 inch category, even some isolated heavier totals, and that's primarily concentrated across the southern half or so of the Midwest. So some of your wettest areas of late, including Missouri, parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, are on track here to again receive more significant heavier rainfall.
And which days this week will that happen?
Well, you do have this activity over the next 24 hours, but the main window here coming up is on track here for Wednesday and on into Thursday, and that's even potentially followed by another system here over the upcoming weekend. So you have about a day and a half in between, but the middle of this week and over the weekend are the main risk days.
And so this week we have rainfall in the southern part of the United States, or Corn Belt, and then next week, did I see that that's more likely in the northern part of the Corn Belt?
Yeah, that looks to be the case. Although as we go into next week, it does look like totals are going to be lighter versus this week. So even as we kind of shift the zone of activity around in the Corn Belt, it does look like next week will feature overall lighter totals across most areas.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome, Todd.
All right, that's Mark Russo. Of course, he is with Earthris Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Check us out for the futures markets and the weather. It's what we do, and we hope that you enjoy it. Have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Mark Gleason.